calling out the myths, misinformation, and BS in the wellness industry. This is the Big Mouth Pharmacist Podcast. Here's your host, holistic pharmacist, supplement expert, Big Mouth, Dr. Neil Smoller.
Broadcasting from the most famous small town in the world, Woodstock, New York, it's the podcast pulling back the curtain on the natural products industry. Episode 77?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yes.
Today's episode, we're going to be focusing on cough and cold, which seems weird because, hey, man, isn't it still summer?
I mean, kind of. I think so.
Yeah, I think it's still March, to be honest with you, because everything is so frigged up right now. But like cough and cold season is coming. It's like 2 weeks away because cough and cold season basically starts when all the little Petri dishes go back to school. Even though we're not having that this year, but cough and cold season is going to be layered on top of that poop sandwich we call COVID. It's a nice, like, thin butter layer right there. So it's really, really important that we get ready right now for both cold and flu season and get our heads straight so that way we can deal with this better. But before we get into that, we're going to get into our usual stuff. So I'm here again today with Dana.
Hello.
Hello, Dana. Again, everybody, just, you know, when you're done with this episode, take a moment, reflect on all you've learned, you know. And then click over to our podcast on your device of choice and give us a 5 stars and a review. And I do think it's pretty freaking annoying that, like, everything you listen to asks you to do that.
Yeah.
I hate asking you to do that, so I'm sorry. But yeah, that we need to get heard. So let people know that this is awesome and share it with your
friends. If it's any consolation, there's no monetary incentive. But the more reviews we get, the higher up the charts we go, and the more people find the show. So if you like the show and you want to share it without actually sharing it, just one little review, 5 stars, all it takes.
Holla at you, boy. I think that I will not ever have ads on here. So
yeah,
that'll be my goal. Just make it popular without ads.
Very noble.
Even like, I was just thinking when I was saying about everybody asks you for likes and reviews, my littlest was making videos with her cousin, like, you know, like little doll videos or whatever.
Aww.
And I'm like, did you just say what I think you said? And they're like, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe. And my kids don't even watch YouTube. I don't allow it in the house because it's so addicting. They're not allowed to watch it.
Like, it's got to be in cartoons somewhere or something.
I don't know. I think it's probably just from the few times that they probably watch it when we're not sitting around, whatever. But I just kind of feel like I failed at as a parent. You know, I don't know.
That's probably how my mom felt when I watched You Can't Do That on Television on Nickelodeon.
Oh, that show's awesome.
35 years ago. She hated it. Oh, my God. She hated that show so much.
Your mom sucks. Yeah. No, I think that was a great show.
It was.
It was like Hee Haw for little kids, I guess, right?
More like Laugh-In, but sure.
I want to touch on one more thing that I said to a consult patient of mine that I would say. That I'm actually now an international celebrity.
Are you?
Yeah, just like David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Don't hassle the Neil.
I did 3 consults this week with patients that are not in America.
And no way.
Yeah, so it was pretty sweet. So, and 2 of them said they were podcast listeners. One of them in Ireland is, she's like, oh, I listen to it all the time. She loves you.
Great.
Unfortunately, I have to give a compliment. I'm really bad at those.
He is sparing with them.
One for the UK, 1 from Ireland, and 1 from the UAE, which was pretty sweet. And I don't want to violate anybody's privacy or privacy, I guess, because of the UK folks. So, but I told you I'd brag, and so here I am. So I think it's pretty cool that we get to help people from all over the place.
I love Dairy Girls. Great show.
I just got the hookup on that, and I'm going to have to check it out.
It's so funny.
It's funny.
I love a good statue.
We started with Breaking Bad.
Uh-oh.
That's what we did, because I missed that entirely, and everybody's like, you would like Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
like, look like a meth head? Like, I don't know, whatever. So we normally, at this point, we do our COVID update before we get into the other content, and I just freaking can't. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I didn't even write a blog this week. I'm like, so I'm just exhausted from, you know, the political stuff's going on, so then everybody's just with their vomit. You know, in my face, you know, obviously I'm a liberal dude. So then I've got people in my circle that, you know, they're not liberals. And some of them are cool about it and normal, decent human beings. And some of them are jerks about it and they want to prove a point. So, you know, I'm getting like pulled into these like threads where I'm trying to like not engage with everybody. So I'm just like so exhausted from all of this crap because this just should be over by now. I just feel like time warp, man. And there's nothing to report. Like what the numbers are all being hidden. The freaking, you know, everything's out of control. They're sending kids back to school. I just heard about the colleges because Notre Dame just shut down, right? They had 346 cases. So they're like, go home. But the word on the street is that they're making them come back to grab all the tuition money. And then they're closing and sending them home, you know, because if they said we're just doing virtual, like half the kids would be like, well, screw that. I'm not going to pay $40,000 to do online classes no matter where. So, yeah. So that kind of stinks. Everything's a freaking business in this country is what my staff downstairs said.
Yeah, that's mad shady.
Yeah, sucks. Anyway, so let's just skip COVID. We're not going to talk about that. Weight update. So I don't know if, did I mention that I don't have high blood pressure? So that was the thing that like got me on this whole, like, I got to lose weight. I got to get everything under control. I gained the COVID-19. Now I got to drop it all. So I don't have high blood pressure. I went to my physical. Everything was normal. So that's great. And so it was directly, it was directly related to me being 40 pounds overweight. So, and one of the things I wanted to say is like part of the reason that I bring this up is I just want to lead by example. This is real. I'm a working guy, got a bunch of kids, and I enjoy eating junk food, especially when I'm stressed. So I reap what I sow and I have to respond to it. And so the question is where do you start? What's the best way to get started if you're, you know, making bad choices and now stuff hurts or there's a problem, right? And so my argument, both health industries are sick, both the conventional and the supplement industry or alternative medicine world. They're making us sick. They stand in the way of us achieving our health. So we need a better answer that uses the best of both of those worlds, helps us get some clarity, some quality, and the results that they promise but can't and won't deliver, right? They like it that you don't know what to do and you just buy stuff and you forget that you're on it and just take it forever, right? So that's the holistic standard, the wellness pyramid. We talk about this a bunch. Lifestyle choices, strategic supplement use with a more thorough understanding of quality, and then the conventional care. So that's what I'm doing. So I made a simple meal plan. I didn't get outlandish with it. I didn't worry about the quality of my food. I was just eating bland, healthy stuff. And I just dealt with the mental anguish of changing habits, which is the hardest part. Everybody knows that, you know, it depends on where you are in this whole journey. If you're ready and raring to go, it's going to be a little bit easier. If you're making excuses, it's going to be a longer path and it's going to be harder. And we just have to understand that that's where we're all at with it. So you do what you can and you do something and you just make some positive change. And then eventually, hopefully it snowballs for you and it turns into something bigger. So, the other parts of it, of course, like the Vital Five supplements and talking to and listening to a doctor when you need, all part of the wellness pyramid. And the reason that I kind of do all of that stuff, just to say, look, this is why I'm talking about my weight. And then this is why I'm talking about the wellness pyramid is because I had a bad experience with doctors and I think I'm going to turn into an evil villain right now. Yeah, like I'm like super, it's like my origin story. It's like, except it's not going to be as bad as Wolverine Origins. That's all. It's like, so I don't know. I really feel after my last few run-ins with the conventional world, I was like I kind of am like, F the police here. Like, you know, like what's going on with like defund doctors? Like what's going on here? I'm normally the advocate. I get it. Like, I know that stuff's broken with medicine and like the little doctors have gone to these big groups, right? And I want the days where it's Dr. Rissman in the community, right? Like we had on the podcast and, you know, we talked about it a bunch. And I know that the reason that charlatans are doing so well is because doctors are like super dismissive of everybody's stuff and they're like not listening. And like, they think that supplements are nonsense and all of that stuff. And, you know, people they don't feel listened to. They don't feel heard, right? And so I went to an orthopedist appointment for my shoulder because I'm an idiot and somehow I ripped it during my workout. And, you know, they're moving you around like cattle. I felt like Idiocracy, you know, like when you're like push the button, okay, sir, go over there, sir, you know, like that kind of a thing. And yeah, and they're barely explaining what's going on. They're like, okay, x-ray, okay, you know, office, okay, doctor, okay, physical therapy. And it's like, what's going on? Doctor sees you for moments. I don't even think he said thanks or goodbye. He was just like, all right, physical therapy. And then just like walked out of the door. And he might have said it, but I was just so like in shock. Like, how come he's not really answering my questions? And he's just kind of saying the one thing, I've got a specific question. And he just kind of like gave me a roundabout answer, right? And then they're like, you need physical therapy, right? And so like I'm shocked carrying the sheet down to the checkout. And I stand where the checkout thing is. Sir, you have to go over here. And it's like, okay, well, I didn't know that, you know. So go to the checkout, say you need physical therapy, and just kind of looks at me. And I'm looking at her. And I'm like, I don't work here. I don't know how to get physical therapy. Like, is there a physical therapy store that I go to? Do you have one that I need to go to? Is there a specific type of physical therapy, or do I just get all of the physical therapy? And so like, well, actually there's one in this office. It's not our business, but you can go check them out. So I'm like, great. You know, sarcastic. I grab the piece of paper, walk over to the physical therapy window, and I say, hey, they said I need physical therapy. She takes my sheet and she goes, okay. And she looks at it and sees my insurance. We don't take that insurance. And like almost like paper airplane throws it back at me, ninja star. God. Yeah. And like, meanwhile, I would have paid for physical therapy, because if it's important and I need it to heal, I would have, because I know I got crap insurance, I would have just paid for it, right? It's the same thing. Like, my crappy insurance and paying cash is pretty much the same thing. It's just in case like of a horrible emergency, I won't go bankrupt, I guess, right? So I'm just like, WTF, you know, like, what is going on here? And listen, like, I'm a healthcare practitioner, but not only that, I'm a healthcare practitioner that tells people, give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
You know, they're working in a broken system, right? So what if I were a patient?
Yeah.
What if I didn't understand all of this back stuff? So now, like I said, I'm like, like, what do I do? Do I say to my patients, like, yeah, screw it, it's broken. We're going to take the top off the wellness pyramid. It's going to be the wellness trapezoid. It's going to be, what's that place in Mexico that doesn't have the peak at the top? What's the name of that thing?
The Aztec pyramid?
The Aztec pyramids. That's it. Yeah, that's it. So we're going to do that. I think there's like a specific name of one of them. I can never pronounce right. But anyway.
They don't teach us well here.
Well, yeah. Public school learning is difficult. So, and I know it from my Civilization video game, but I don't know. I'm sorry. But but yeah, so that's what we're going to make. We're going to get rid of the wellness pyramid. And then I'm like, you know what, whatever. And so really where I'm at is like how important it is for everybody to not give up on the conventional system, because it is truly broken in a different way. So I believe that the alternative medicine industry is broken with all the misinformation and all of the crappy products and like the fleecing of the general population, right? And I think that the conventional industry is broken because pharmaceutical greed and because of the broken reimbursement system. And like, it's not about building relationships anymore. So like, your goal should be to find doctors that you can have a good relationship with. Do not tolerate what I just went through. If you have to go through it, that's not cool. Like, be the angry patient, fill out the stupid surveys, give them Google reviews that tell them that they suck at it. And then find a new doctor, because, you know, the truth is to them, relationships don't matter. We're the doctor that takes your insurance that was decided upon because of whatever employer you have. Right? That's the system that we're in. Yeah. And that sucks. And so, you know, like I said, it's hard for me because I'm trying to advocate for all of it, but it's like part of me wants to be like, you know, like, and get all mad about it. But I guess what I'm trying to say to my patients here, to people listening, I understand. And it's tough. And we don't want to just throw it right out, but that's what can technically happen. So
yeah, that's a shame.
It's a shame. I agree. So I wanted to today briefly talk about cough and cold. I didn't want to do a big, long podcast. In fact, like, I would love some feedback. Do people want me to talk for an hour? Like, is it better to do this for 30 minutes? I was talking to like some famous podcaster the other day. He actually made like number one, number eight podcast, like, like crazy. And you know, I'm just like, an hour. Like, do people really want to listen to me for an hour? Maybe half an hour. That might be enough. I don't know. But we've tried different things, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. But anyway, give me that feedback. Email me, podcast@woodstockvitamins.com. But anyway, cough and cold. I wanted to talk briefly about it because it's coming. So we have a few things. Basically, I want to talk about the three steps that I normally recommend to manage colds. I want to talk about things that definitely will not help. And then I want to talk about like immune health concerns we've touched on, but I want to like give people good advice around it.
That sounds good.
So I guess first thing we should say is that cough and cold season better not be a thing this year.
Yeah, right.
We are not going near each other. The kids aren't going back to school. We're putting masks on our face. I think everybody knows how to wash their hands now. I'm hoping that cough and cold season is non-existent.
Fingers crossed.
And then the flu season, so far, you know, because again, our flu comes like alternating with southern hemisphere of the earth, right? So they're like almost non-existent flu activity, right? Very, very low activity compared to years past. So I'm hoping again that yes, we'll have a very quiet flu season as well because we're not going near people and all of the protective measures that we're putting into place, which would be awesome. Because can we just wear masks when we're sick? Can we stay home when we're sick?
I'm gonna throw this out there. Sure. I think we're going to be ravaged by the flu because who are these people who aren't staying home? I live a half mile from here, and I just sat in so much traffic.
Yeah,
that's why I was here at 3:07 instead of 3.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is there's a lot of people walking around. Like Woodstock has been, it's a huge tourist place. Like on the weekend, there's like a couple thousand people walking the streets on any given day, and that's on the slow weekend.
Yeah.
So it's a ton of people, and everybody's wearing their masks. Though I haven't had to have any fights with anybody. They're all doing what they're supposed to do. I did hear like stories from like the hardware store and a couple of the restaurants. People are being silly.
Oh, well, my other job, I mean, you know.
Oh, and then you told me, that people are like, they want to take the mask off to smell the candles and such, right?
Yeah.
So,
Like they walk in and they're like, oh my God, it smells incredible in here. And then they pull their mask down to smell the candle. And I'm like,
Smells will go through your mask.
Yeah. It's like, fine. What is that mental disconnect? But anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, and so a lot of the experts are talking about how bad the fall is going to be. And I think it's because as the cases are, like, we should be going into the fall with, like, minimal cases like everyone else. Because they're so high, and now we're going to retreat inside, that's where we have this problem. Because now we're going to be mixing way longer, you know? I think that it could go either way. Again, I'm hoping that in our world, at least, where everything is what it is, that the cough and cold season will be a little bit more moderate. So, but again, there's three steps here to manage a cold. And I'm going to use like more conventional terms, prevention, treatment, and then symptom relief. Okay. Treatment isn't a real thing because, I'm not suggesting that supplements treat anything. I'm just saying that that's what I'm calling that phase. Okay. So, in the prevention area, this is where you're doing the good things. And I used to say, wash your hands, exercise, eat well, get lots of rest, take your vital five. So all the wellness pyramid stuff, right? Increase your fluids. The biggest recommendation is stay away from children. They're the ones that have the crap, so stay away from them. They stink
and make
anyway.
Sure they know that it's their fault.
Yeah, and I would blame them, absolutely. And you sick little thing like that.
Just let them know. Let them know what a blight on society they are.
Big part of the prevention phase for people is using supplements. They like to use stuff. And as I've shared on here, I don't believe this idea of boosting the immune system is something that we need to pay attention to. The you know, like over jerky analogy is like if you're morbidly obese and you eat Hershey bars and drink Pepsi, and that's your sole source of nutrition, taking vitamin C for your immune health isn't going to help out. So we have to prioritize and make sure that we are addressing all of the potential factors to weaken our immune system, and we have to be honest about that. So you have to be eating well, sleeping, and doing all of those things before you can and should at least look towards supplements to help out with that. It's like a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. I don't like vitamin C as much as everybody else does. I think that we have a worship of vitamin C that's unnecessary. So again, to rehash on stuff that I've said a million times, vitamin C is the most unnatural thing that we could potentially use. It comes from corn, mostly from China. It's made in a very chemically processed that a lot of people would go, ew, that's gross. The tablets themselves, have you seen a vitamin C tablet? It looks like you could put it in a slingshot and take out a deer, you know? Like it's this horrible thing, and they taste horrible, like especially the chewable ones. The doses are 7 times the RDA. So what is natural about a synthetic chemical compound that's isolated, purified, put in a gross tablet or capsule at 7 times the dose that we need? That sounds like a drug to me, right? And vitamin C is important for our immune health in that our immune cells use vitamin C, so eat more vitamin C-rich foods, which is going to be much healthier and better for you anyway. I always tell people, like, I drink lots of orange juice for my cold. And the reason that that helps is because it's fluids, which most people don't drink lots of. It's tons of sugar, so it makes you feel more energetic. It's not the vitamin C that's in there. And the vitamin C that's typically in orange juices and stuff is the same chemically stuff that I was just talking about. It's not naturally occurring vitamin C, because when you squeeze an orange, I think an orange only has about 80 milligrams per orange. So you're going to have lots of oranges worth of juice to get those 500 milligram doses. So fresh squeezed orange juice occasionally is fine. Make a smoothie. That would be even better. Vitamin C rich foods, and drink lots of fluids. All of that stuff helps out a bunch. So the best thing that you can do for prevention of colds, instead of using products, is to just be healthier. And we'll talk about the other products and those immune formulas later. But I just want to kind of put it out there that this is not the best use of your energy or resources is buying those things. The best use is doing the right thing. It's a lot easier this year because you've got a mask on your face. And, I'll just kind of like leave that as that is. So then let's say you get a cold. And you know what? I'm going to take a time out. I'm going to take a little time out here, because one of the things that also has to kind of be said about this is, like, what is it that we're measuring? When we have a cold, or when we want like better immune health, what we're trying to do is decrease the frequency and severity and even duration of a cold. So if we get 5 colds a year on average, if I could do something to make that 2 colds a year, then I've had this positive improvement, right? If my colds are these horrible, horrible things that last 5 days, and I can either shorten that or make it less severe, then that's another good thing. So say I still have the 5, but they're going to be much easier to deal with. That's another kind of like modality. So when we look at any products, immune boosters or whatever, what effect does it have on those 3 measures? Am I having less colds a year? Am I having shorter colds? Am I having weaker colds, right? And that's what we want to measure. And the truth is when we look at all the papers, there's very, very few things that will actually change any of those numbers. And so I believe that the only two that people should really pay the most attention to are zinc lozenges and high-dose special forms of echinacea, okay? So now it's time to have your freaking zinc lozenges, everybody. Like, now you can go to the store. Now you can buy those. It's not going to help with COVID. Remember, that was just a meme that got out of control. Zinc lozenges do help for coronavirus. They help for colds. 6 of them at the first sign of a scratchy sore throat help out a ton. And so it's 6 over a 24-hour period for 2 to 3 days. Okay? So nice slow dissolution. That you can use store brand ones, you could use Coldies, you could use whatever you want. But the point is that you're using the zinc here to actually stop the cold from replicating. And there's evidence and proof behind that. I tell people to envision the cold virus like a soccer ball, almost. Like, instead of the black and white spots that are like pushed out, they're actually a little concave, right? So they kind of fold in, and our zinc molecules fit really nicely in there, and the chemical attraction allows it to fit in there pretty nicely. So when we are taking zinc lozenges, we're slowly dissolving it, not like a Tootsie Pop where you take, 2 licks and then a bite, right? You're slowly dissolving it over the back of your throat, and that zinc is just kind of plastering all the cold virus that's there. They're cold and upper respiratory tract virus, so it's going to be anywhere from like your clavicle up to the back of your throat where your nose is. So slowly applying the zinc, sort of like you're painting it, and then each of the cold bugs that are there are getting kind of covered with the zinc. So it makes it difficult for them to replicate. It makes it difficult for them to stick to the back of the throat. Okay, and then so what ends up happening is they just kind of fall off down your GI tract, and then they're dead, and they're not there anymore. And so that's what we have to remember when we're doing this. We're not taking zinc to increase our body's blood levels of zinc to make our immune system guys all amped up like we just gave them meth, right? Because I'm watching Breaking Bad. That's everybody's on meth now. So we're doing it to apply it topically. It's kind of like if you have poison ivy and you put hydrocortisone on it, we want to spread it out over that area to kind of treat the thing that's the problem, not everybody, right?
You know what I always hear about Zicam, because that's like my go-to. Mm-hmm. I've had great luck with it. Mm-hmm. I always recommend the Rapid Melts, because that's just what has always worked best for me. And mm-hmm. so many people that I recommended to are like, oh yeah, I tried that. It's got such a horrible aftertaste. And I'm like, yeah, that aftertaste is so much worse than being sick for a week, you idiot.
Wow, like, wow. What a lot of that? Anger.
It's really frustrating. I'm like, why would you continue to suffer when I'm telling you that this knocked my cold out? You know, I was better in 3 days. Why would you suffer for a whole week with a cold?
You're just so judgmental about the whole... I actually have this conversation with my wife.
I am. That's kind of my brand, if you haven't noticed.
This is the Smoller household conversation all the time. Erin's like, I'm getting sick. And like, she talks about her throat hurts. I'm like, eggs and lozenges. She's like, they just don't taste good, right? So like, she just doesn't like the taste so much that she would rather be sick. And that's always confusing to me. And that's the big side effect. Because we're applying this topically, because we're dissolving it in our mouth, it's not just going to go to the back of the throat. It's the entire mouth. And it's gross. And this is why we don't want to take zinc lozenges every single day for COVID, because that zinc, that metal in your mouth is going to kill your taste buds. And in fact, I don't even think we have it anymore, like the zinc nasal swabs. So what that was, you would apply a gel of zinc to the back of your throat, upper, you know, like as far up as you can go, COVID test land, right? Mm. And then it would just slowly dissolve down over the back of the throat. And that was like the best way to get the most exposure to the cold bug. But it was making people not be able to smell right, you know? And so everybody smells bad enough.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you know, that was a good one. I kind of...
Thank you.
Yeah, almost missed that one. But yeah, the Zicam swabs, when they first came out, worked amazing.
Yeah, a lot of people were into it.
God, they were so good. And they re-released them, but those don't actually have zinc in them. That's why I recommend the Rapid Melts.
Yeah. So... my normal go-to for somebody is don't take anything to prevent a cold. But in the off chance that you do get that scratchy, sore throat, that's normally the first sign of a cold bug. So then that's the best time to start the zinc lozenge regimen. So it's kind of like I tell people, buy the zinc now, keep it in your cabinet, and it's like in case of cold, break glass.
Right? Exactly.
So be prepared, because you don't want to wait a day or two, because you have to do it within the first 24 to 48 hours for it to be effective. If it's basically 2 days gone since the cold started, that's not the time to start the zinc lozenges.
Okay. Not to rain on what you just said, but okay. I personally, like, if my glands are really swollen and I'm sick to death with a cold, no matter when I take the zinc, it will at least relieve the pressure in my glands.
Really?
So yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I have had really, really good luck with zinc and colds. So it might not be the same for everyone.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm, you know, even if I've had the cold for a day and I haven't had a chance to get to a pharmacist or like a pharmacy rather, mm-hmm. because I do usually always have zinc on hand, but on the off chance that I've run out and I haven't gotten it, I'll just get it no matter what, because I personally always get relief from it.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly helps. And so I'm not saying don't do it, but I would say 48 hours is going to be your best bet. So I actually have something for people that it's now into day three. So imagine you get the scratchy sore throat, you do the 2 days of the zinc, or you miss the boat. What do you do? Well, you still have like a lifeline. And so I'll normally tell people to use a specific type of echinacea. So echinacea is one of the things that I'm going to mention doesn't help with a cold. Because the way that we take it, it's not the proper extract or dose to actually be beneficial. So there's some data around the alkylamides that are found in echinacea roots, all right? And if you get a dose of 50 milligrams of that for 2 days, that's enough, again, to kind of stop the cold in its tracks.
Huh.
So severity, duration. And how does it work? I don't know if I don't have as conclusive stuff as I do with zinc. The thought is it's like echinacea in general has like an anti-inflammatory type effect, but I guess all plants do. But really what I've seen is that the quick defense formulation of this, which is made by Gaia Herbs, they're the only ones that really have that extract nailed down, really helps people that are kind of in that second stage. So it's either too late or they didn't get relief from the first round of stuff, okay? Now, as we mentioned, the zinc is 6 times a day. That's a pain in the butt. You got to remember. So come on, man up and just do it. Or cowboy up, I guess we should say. Like man up. Like what's up with that, right?
Cowboys are very manly.
Cowboys aren't real. Can we talk about that for a minute? And like how most cowboys were like Hispanic, like Mexicans actually, and like African Americans at the time. Mm-hmm. That's what they were. Like, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever. I just, the hats, guys. It's the hats. Like they were cool. Like, we'll stop sagging our pants here in New York if you stop wearing cowboy hats. How about that? Can we call it a deal?
Woo, those are fighting words, I think.
Right? Like, I just feel like I told all the Southern pharmacists this during our supplement school, one of our classes. I was like, I actually used to have a thing against Southern accents. I'm like, you just can't sound smart. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I just bust my Southern friends. You just can't sound smart when you're talking to me. You're talking about pharmacy stuff, but I'm just not getting it. And I was saying how much, like, you know, because now I've had so many more like Southern pharmacists and friends and stuff like that. And one of them said, oh, yeah, we're sticky. Yeah. I thought that was awesome. And I'm like, come on, with the hats, right? Like, we got to go. And I'm like, I know we talk silly up here too, you know, like the New York accent, especially the Brooklyn stuff, right? That's all got to go. Like, we got to slow the roll here in Brooklyn, right?
Well, I think our Mid-Hudson Valley accent where we overpronounce our U's is pretty ugly.
All the gals downstairs talk about that. Like, I say Saugerties, right? Saugerties. Like, it's like this weird AU type thing. And some
That's
people,
how you say it.
Really? It's Saugerties or I don't know.
No, Saugerties.
We're off track. let's get back on course here. Echinacea. So my normal go-to is the zinc lozenges for the first couple of days. If that works, you're done. Step off. You're doing the hump. The Humpty Dance. So
okay, Tupac.
Done with that. And then I was teaching my kids about Tupac. Let's stay on target here. I don't want this to be a long episode. We're already over a half hour. All right. So the zinc lozenges, the first piece. The second piece is the echinacea high dose. Remember, we want a specific type of echinacea in order for this to be beneficial. So if by the end of day three, day four, that really hasn't done it for you, you fall into the third bin, which is your SOL. So you're going to get sick. Sometimes you can nip it in the bud. Sometimes you can decrease the severity, the duration. Sometimes you just miss and you're bound to get sick. And so in this phase, we have to relieve all the symptoms. And really that's something that's kind of undercurrent to all of it, because you might have a scratchy sore throat and some fever, some muscle pain. You might have, you know, you just want some more relief beyond the scratchy sore throat treatments that we're using, echinacea and zinc. So there's stuff that you can do the whole time. So basically, three pieces, right? Aches and fever can be kind of treated all the time. And my recommendation here is to go conventional. So acetaminophen, ibuprofen, Tylenol, Advil, those are things that you can do and you should use them. In fact, I have to kind of remind people that it's okay. Like, you're using it for an acute time. There's a reason that you feel like this. And the best thing to stop that process is Tylenol. That's literally what it does. It like antis all of those bad things, right? So think about it that way, right? So use that. They're going to be your friend. And of course, if it gets super severe, the of course disclaimer is, like, make sure you go see a doctor. But anyway, sinus stuff, right? Boogers. Your body's reaction, the immune response, is to overreact. It's to send all of the guns, to open up all the blood vessels, make everything super leaky so that your immune cells can get in and clean up the mess. And as a result, we have gunk everywhere. So our sinuses clog and we're just running from every orifice and our eyes are like tearing up and such, and it's no fun. And then it happens in our lungs too. And then we start to get lots of coughs and such. Like, so that's what we have to kind of expect with a cold, and it's something that we can combat. So that, again, that response is kind of a hyperactive response. It's a good thing. That's what makes our immune system so great, but it's a lot. It's a lot to kind of deal with. So when it comes to sinus congestion, there's a lot of different stuff. So you can use those nasal sprays, right? Squirt them up your nose, the saline. You can use those silly, crazy neti pots. Like, you ever see that video, the one lady like looking at you all creepy and like neti pot in your nose?
Yeah, I've got such beef with neti pots, but go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me because, you know, I don't go near bathtubs because I can't swim. You know, I just don't want the water up my nose. And so people like to do those, and they'll even use something called Alka-Lol, which is an old-fashioned, like, really strong rinse to help out with this. Most of the time it's like a saline type thing. Mm-hmm. And all of that can help. It can help manage the symptoms. It can help irrigate the nose, keep it clean, and it's fine to do. So go ahead and do that. We've even talked about in the past pepper nasal sprays to help out with congestion, so capsaicin in them, and even xylitol, a sweetener. Xylitol is the stuff that's in Trident gum. That's why 9 out of 10 dentists recommend it, because the xylitol stops the gross stuff from sticking to your teeth, and it stops them from producing that acid, remember Claudia was talking about on the podcast. Okay. And so it's really, really helpful. So if you apply it topically via nasal spray, like a saline spray, the boogers won't stick. And then you'll have less congestion. So those are some really interesting options. We've also, you know, you ever have horseradish? Like clears your sinuses, right?
Oh, it's the best.
So we've got something called Sinus Blaster. It's like garlic, cayenne, horseradish, pepper.
Peppermint. Oh my God.
It's nuts. And we used to say that people would get better just so they didn't have to take it anymore.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but it actually doesn't taste as bad as you would think it does, but it's our number one. So again, we tell people, listen, stock up on this stuff because it's going to be in high demand pretty soon, and have it there because it is it's something that won't raise your blood pressure. It's something that won't cause any like heart problems or arrhythmias like Sudafed will, but it really helps people. And it's kind of one of those things, you don't stick it up your nose. Please don't stick it up your nose, but swallow it. And the reason I mentioned this particular product is because you can kind of do this on your own. Garlic, cayenne, horseradish, pepper, put it in a pot, kind of put your face over it, you know, don't burn your tie in the stove. So that's something that can work out too. And when it comes to like essential oils that are used, it's the same thing. It's an aromatherapy that essentially breaks up the congestion in your nose. We respond to that very well.
I guess that's the principle of Vicks Vapor Rub.
That's right. That's exactly what's
going on. I am just now realizing that. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm almost 41, you guys.
It's all right. So the cough stuff. So we have coughs that will normally come as a result of being sick with an upper respiratory tract infection. One important thing to remember that almost all of the coughs that are happening because of a cold, at least early on, are not because of there's stuff in your lungs. It's because your nasal passages and your sinuses are dripping down the back of your throat and then tickling your like thingy, hanging ball thingy. I don't know. It's don't say that word. It's dirty.
It's the hangy thing in the back.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I'm telling our younger listeners, Neil, you're so contentious.
I think it was like the epiglottis is what I was thinking, right? Isn't that?
Oh,
like,
no, that's the flap that goes back and forth between your esophagus and your trachea.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's what it's tickling.
So,
I just don't know what sciencey stuff to say and what stuff to not, because I just don't want to lose people like, what did he just say? And like gloss over and then crash in their
This car. Is a teachable moment. So your uvula is the hangy thing in the back of your throat and your epiglottis is the flap between your esophagus and your trachea.
Right. And the Galapagos is an island with the turtles.
Correct.
Okay, good. And the Ninja Turtles live in New York and like pizza.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So I just, we bring it all together for everybody. Right. So the, so most of your cough is not due to your chest and taking like, cough medicine isn't appropriate. In fact, it's probably best to use something very drying to address the nasal congestion itself. So I'll recommend people use high dose antihistamines like Benadryl or something like that, something potent before bed. It helps knock you out a little bit, but then it also dries you up so you don't have that post nasal drip. And this is where gravity is on your side. So pump up your pillow. But every time I plop my pillow up to try to help drain, like 30 minutes later, I'm like laying on the bed anyway, right?
Yep.
So here's a tip. Take a blanket, fold it in half, and put it underneath your mattress between it and the box spring. And that just keeps your head just up slightly, a couple degrees, and it's enough to help the congestion flow a little bit better down the back of your throat.
Yeah. You know, actually, I should have said this before when you were talking about like when I hated on neti pots, but a neti bottle, which is
the same principle,
they work much better. It's just as unpleasant, but it really, those actually do help to clear out the nasal or the sinus cavities rather. And so doing that before bed, I find is also helpful when you're congested.
Yeah. When I was in college, if I had a cold and I was hungover, I would use those gusher drinks. You know, remember those like with the twisty tops right up my nose and then down the hat. No, of course not. I'm just, I was thinking it was visualizing like squeeze bottle, but that would be pretty sweet. Moving on. So vaporizers, another important thing to help out with this, because again, your cough isn't really due to the lungs, it's the nose. So this helps with that whole process. So vaporizers next to your bed, not on your face, that helps out a bunch too. there are a number of different herbs that are used to promote lung health, I guess. So there are two main herbs that I care about: wild cherry bark, which like has those anti-cough properties, and asha root. And we have combinations, and you can find these probably everywhere, that have a bunch of different herbs in them that will help out with just your cough. The thing about cough medicine is that none of it really works. People say that it does, but in like large population studies, it doesn't really help. Kids especially shouldn't be using any of this stuff. Like, it doesn't really help them. For kids, honey is really the best, and then the antihistamines and the vaporizers and all of this other stuff. But for adults, I normally am pushing people more towards Mucinex if they want something effective for cough, because Mucinex is like this high dose, long acting version of guaifenesin. So it's like drinking a gallon of this stuff a day instead of doing it every 4 hours and chugging it down. You're taking two pills. So I'll normally nudge people more towards that if they have the cough symptoms that they want resolution from, and it's legitimately their like lungs and they're looking for an expectorant. That's where I'll kind of push people towards. So
yeah, if you're looking to turn your sinus cavities into a carpeted floor, that's Mucinex.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be nice and
dry,
nice and floofy. So again, zinc lozenges, high dose echinacea, the specific type, quick defense is my jam. For treatment of the symptoms, if you can't win, and you got to deal with your snot production, it's Sinus Blaster, bronchial syrup. Those are our two combinations, but essentially herbs that help break up the sinus congestion, and then herbs to help out with lung support, and then use those conventional things where it's appropriate. So Tylenol and Advil all the time, and then potentially like Benadryl before bed or Mucinex in place of any other cough medicines. And that's it. Like that's how you do it. There's something I always like to say about colds. A lot of people forget an important component of colds, and actually a lot of infectious diseases, the convalescence period, the period after. We talked about this with the Lyme disease thing, how you get Lyme disease and the infection's gone, but you feel like crap. So you break a leg and you get a cast, it's not like you're going to take the cast off and go running. You got to heal. You got to get back to where you were. And as we just said, with all of the immune system stuff that we have to consider, our immune system's overreacting, producing all this junk just to get rid of it, then our body has to take some time to clean up the mess. And so you may not be sick anymore, like 3 to 5 days in, but you're going to still be boogery and coughing and all of that for some time. So there's a lot of like after the party cleanup. You got a lot of glitter that you got to get off the carpets before mom and dad get home. So a lot of people will say that they've had a cold for 20 days, 30 days. That's not really real. I've seen lots of people, and I've experienced myself, of course, colds that are 7 days, they're pretty mean. And then the recovery period's like 14 days. Mm-hmm. So expect that. And it is very possible this time of year to get infected once, twice, three times a lady. So you can get reinfected. You can get different colds. There's so many different colds circulating. That's kind of important to know. So let's talk now about things that won't help. There's a few important things to cover. First and foremost, something that won't help the most is telling yourself that you don't get sick because of some supplement that you take every day. That doesn't help. Don't tell yourself that. You're not getting sick, and people don't get sick, not because of some silly, you know, advertised supplement that's preventing your colds. It's for the same reason you haven't gotten COVID yet, because you haven't gotten exposed to it, or the viral load that you have gotten exposed to isn't enough, or you've already been exposed to that cold before. Right. And again, I hear mostly from older patients, not elderly all the time, but older patients, people that their kids are out of the house now. I haven't been sick in years. Well, how long have your kids been out of the house? Oh, 20 years? That's not a surprise. I get sick constantly. They're gross. They're horrible human beings. And that's why staying away from kids is such an important part of this conversation. And you know, again, that's why like it'll start to circulate within just a couple weeks of them going back to school. Another thing that won't help you with a cold is antibiotics. So don't ask for antibiotics. They're not going to help out. They may make you feel better because antibiotics, a lot of them have some anti-inflammatory properties, so they can get rid of those aches and pains and such. I don't believe that a lot of the immune health combinations that are out there actually help people. And what we would have to do is we'd have to look at each one and see what exactly is in there. And so I know already. So a lot of the times there's vitamins, vitamin C being the big one, and zinc, right? And as we said, you can use those. That's fine. You can take vitamin C and you can take some zinc on the regular, and it may make an incremental difference, but it's not really proven to help reduce duration severity of colds. We've talked about vitamin C, and there are some narrow kind of situations where vitamin C can help with colds at high doses. You can just listen back to that episode about vitamin C. We talk about it there. A lot of the other immune health combinations will have herbs in them. And there's a number of herbs that are touted for their antimicrobial activity. The big ones that I hear, echinacea, olive leaf, and oregano oil. And by all means, if you want to use these products, use them, like as we talked about last week. Well, so we got to the end of the glutathione discussion, and Dana's like, well, why can't I just use it if it's not going to hurt me? And sure, use it, but let's make sure that you're getting actual oregano oil. Make sure you're getting actual olive leaf. Make sure you're getting the proper extracts of echinacea. So supplement quality is a big concern because a lot of companies suck at herbs. Like, that's just how it is. Herbs are very, very complicated. Think about what we talked about with CBD. Remember that nerdy kid, my buddy there? Like he was talking all about every little nook and cranny with CBD, and that's just CBD, which has maybe 2 to 14 different constituents, right? At any given time, probably more, right?
Yeah.
And so he went into great detail talking about how it's important that you get all of those. And so then you're talking about these other things that have far more than just like the 20 components that we have to be considered. The other thing that won't help is these homeopathic things. So there's one, the oscillococcum, right? You've seen that?
Oscillococcinum.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's dumb. Whatever it is. The story behind it, it's one magic duck liver, literally, that they then gets dissolved out into the millions of doses that they distribute throughout the year. And then people take this stuff and they spend, it's expensive for what it is. And they take it and they believe that it helps either treat or prevent a cold or a flu. And it really doesn't. So we can go on and on about homeopathy. But what I like to stick to is this idea of how can I prove that the product that you have is what it says it is. And with homeopathic products, I can't. And in fact, those companies have admitted to that. They can't distinguish between the different products. So there's no way for me to then verify that you're getting the thing that you're paying for. So.
Okay, there's a little bit to unpack there.
Mm-hmm.
One magic duck liver
mm-hmm.
for all the products ever, or just mm-hmm. one every year? They get like a duck liver dowser and find the magic one.
I think that's really what it is. I think if you like, even the Wikipedia article kind of talks about it, and it's really pretty interesting. It's derived from duck liver and heart, diluted to 200 C, a ratio of one part duck offal to 10 to the 400 parts water. 10 to the 400.
That's
10, yeah, 10 to the 9 in dollars would make you Elon Musk. So,
right.
You know, 10 to the 400 parts water. So again, this idea of the molecules leaving an imprint and all the stuff that goes on with homeopathy. Listen, more power to you. If you want to get down with that, get down with that. But I have to make recommendations based on standards, therapeutics, products. What's the evidence? What's the safety? What's the quality, the manufacturing process? And too many times homeopathic products have been contaminated. Kids have gotten overdosed on belladonna and stuff like that. I can't verify or validate what's in there, right? And then there's no therapeutic evidence to support their use. There's lots of anecdotal evidence, lots of people saying it works for me, but that only goes so far. And again, if you want to be in that works for me category, go right ahead. But I just know that it's not going to actually make a dent when all of the other stuff I've gone blue in the face talking about will help, right? And on the same token, Airborne. And Airborne makes me sick because it's that stupid story. Stories work, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, it was invented by a teacher. What does that mean? Like, she's a teacher. Have you talked to teachers?
Was she a chemistry teacher? Like,
right.
What kind of teacher?
Like, I mean, so, like, you know, my teachers were of the best. And we have teacher friends. But, like, I know moron teachers. Like, so was it a moron teacher? Was it a smart teacher? And like, what do they have to do with this? And so this... And I don't even think it was developed by a teacher. I think she was a teacher who like got this idea, like, let's cash in on homeopathy and like say that I'm a teacher. And it's just funny that the story, so that it gives her credibility because yes, kids are sick and she gets exposed a lot. And then that was part of the story. And so Airborne definitely does not help out. I think some of the formulations have high dose vitamin C in them and such. So those things don't help. I want you to spend money on things that will actually work. So if you've never used it before, never got any results, don't go near them. If you're a fan, I'm cool with that. Be a fan. Like I said, at the end of the day, whatever is good for you, I have to make recommendations and people have to like make choices around that. And I'm just trying to do it within the model, right? So then there are other products that people could take on the daily that could potentially help out with their immune health. And I don't really get down with that, but there's three that I would cover. So probiotics in general are just good for your gut health, and some of them have immune benefits. And remember, your gut is the biggest entryway to your body, not just your lungs, but it's your gut, the lining, the length of it, right? You stretch it out and it's like 40 city blocks or whatever, or some length, some crazy length. But anyway, all the bugs and gross stuff can get into your body from there. So having the probiotics, one of the functions of a probiotic is basically like basketball, boxing out, right? So it's competitive exclusion. So it's pushing away all of the bad stuff that could potentially be there and take up real estate. So probiotics are important. The other thing is elderberry. A lot of people like to use elderberry for flu, and there is some data to show that if you take a concentrate of elderberry, it will decrease the duration or severity of a flu. True.
Okay.
Yeah, it will do it. In small studies, right?
Right.
So it's not something that everybody should do. So I'll normally tell people, if you want to, get a quality elderberry and take it daily. Sure. And then if you get symptoms, take a little bit extra, you know, follow the directions on the bottle. But there's nothing wrong with taking a concentrate of elderberry made correctly, because it's a healthy fruit. You know, it's a good antioxidant. And potentially, if you have that benefit, that's fine. You can do it every day. And then the last one is the Five Defenders. That's the mushroom therapy. Make sure that you're using real mushrooms. Any mushroom will have some sort of natural antiviral or pro-immune responses associated with them, just at the like chemical level. I love the Five Defenders from Real Mushrooms, just because it's a mix of them and a high concentrate of the beta glucans that you're looking for. So that's something that you can take on a daily basis. So that's it. The final word here is it's probably going to be mild. I'm hoping that it stays that way. That's my prediction. But it is time to start planning. So if you get sick, don't go to work. Keep your mask on and simplify your cold options down to the zinc lozenges and or the high dose echinacea, be a quick defense, and then have some options just to manage the symptoms if they come. But all that other stuff, all the regimens and all the craziness that's out there, you really can ignore it, because there's not a lot to it. So until next time, don't sneeze on your neighbor. Keep listening, keep learning, and be well.